Thank you, Marilyn. Good afternoon. I'm very excited to be here as part of this final session on HPV, and I'd like to thank all of you for sticking it out so close to the end of the conference. It's been very exciting because there's been a lot of research and presentations on HPV and the vaccine here at this conference, and a lot of good research happening. What I'm going to be talking about specifically is the role of the physician recommendation in HPV vaccine uptake, specifically in a low-income ethnic minority population in LA County. I wanted to take a moment and acknowledge my collaborators, Dr. Beth Glenn, Jennifer Sway, who is our project director, and Dr. Roshan Bastani, all from the UCLA School of Public Health. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So to begin with some background, in the United States, we know that cervical cancer disproportionately affects low-income ethnic minorities. Nationally, cervical cancer incidence is 80% higher among Latinos and 35% higher among African-American women, and compared with incidence in non-Hispanic white women. In Los Angeles County, in addition to Latinos, we also see a higher incidence in certain Asian subpopulations, such as Korean women. There's disparities in mortality rates as well, with Latinas and African American women having higher mortality rates from cervical cancer both nationally and in Los Angeles County. Now, when the HPV vaccine was introduced in 2006, and we've heard a lot about the timeline already here, it really represented a new tool that could help address these disparities in cervical cancer. But now, 4 years later, when we look at vaccination rates, they're really lagging in the high-risk populations. So unless we can address this and increase these vaccination rates, what we're looking at is probably worsening of these disparities in the future. So when we look at the role of the physician recommendation, we know the literature has said pretty clearly that the physician recommendation is very important in promoting vaccination in general and the HPV vaccine specifically. But in the studies that have been done looking at HPV vaccine and physician recommendation, they've really been done in homogeneous populations that are actually at lower risk for cervical cancer. There's much less known about how important the physician recommendation is in high-risk populations such as low-income ethnic minorities. So our study objective was to examine the role of the physician recommendation in HPV vaccine uptake among an ethnically diverse population of low-income girls. Specifically, what we wanted to do was look at communication with the doctor about the vaccine among those who had heard of the vaccine. Then we wanted to look at the importance of the doctor in decision-making among women who had not yet vaccinated their girls, and how significant the doctor recommendation would be in vaccine acceptability, again, among mothers who had not yet vaccinated their girls. So this study was done as a collaboration between the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health's Office of Women's Health and the UCLA School of Public Health Division of Cancer Prevention and Control Research. So at Office of Women's Health, the research was actually conducted using our multilingual hotline, which consists of 8 hotline operators that speak 7 languages among them. This hotline provides breast and cervical cancer screening appointments, information, referrals, and health education on cancer prevention and cardiovascular risk reduction. The hotline targets uninsured women living at or below 200% of the federal poverty level, and they're advertised through partnerships with over 300 community-based organizations and ethnic media outlets. UCLA is one of 10 CDC NCI-funded sites nationally that make up the Cancer Prevention Control Research Network. They funded this study, and UCLA, of course, provided the research expertise. So they helped in study design, survey development, implementation, and data analysis. So a little bit about our study population and our methods. So telephone interviews were conducted with women calling the hotline, and they were done in 5 different languages, so in the primary language of the caller. The eligibility criteria was basically callers between the ages of 18 and 65 years who were the medical decision maker for at least one HPV vaccine age-eligible girl in their household. So the girl would be between 9 and 18 years of age. Now, almost all the callers to our hotline are women. So basically what we were looking at here was mothers who were responding about their daughters. We did have a very small percentage of other types of caretakers, such as grandmothers, aunts, or sisters that were responding in the interviews. The Office of Women's Health hotline operators recruited the participants, and they also conducted the interviews after they received training in research methodology. Here we have our recruitment summary. So basically, the participants were recruited between January and November of 2009. A little over 2,000 women were screened, and most of them did agree, well, most Over 2,000 were invited to be screened. Most of them agreed to be screened, and about 25% of them were eligible for the study. 93% of those that were eligible actually participated, and in the end, we had 490 completed full surveys that make up our sample. So here we have the characteristics of our sample. So we begin first with the mothers or the caregivers that were the respondents, the ones that we interviewed, and their mean age was 44 years of age. About half of them had less than a high school education. 35% had less than $12,000 annual income. 88% were foreign-born, with the average number of years in the United States being 18 years. So they had been in the United States for quite some time. 75% were uninsured, and half of them had no usual source of care. Looking at the girls that they were responding about, the mean age of the girls was 14 years. And then about 60% of them had some form of public health insurance, 18% had other insurance, but 26% of them were uninsured. And when we look at usual source of care, 30% of them had no usual source of care. Here we look at the ethnicity breakdown. Little over half of the sample were Latina at 52%, followed by 20% Chinese, 13% Korean, 8% African American, and 5% other, which made up other Asian, non-Latina, white, and multiracial. The language of interview mirrored the ethnicity of the respondents. So first we look at the awareness of the HPV vaccine in our sample. So overall, 61% of the women had heard of the HPV vaccine. There were statistically significant differences by ethnicity, with Korean mothers much less likely to have heard of the vaccine. We also asked those that had heard of the vaccine where they heard it from, and you can see those sources of information on the right side of the slide. And so 65% reported that they had heard it from a doctor, nurse, or other healthcare professional, and then you can see the others there. Here we look at HPV vaccine uptake in our sample. And so overall, 29% of the respondents said that their girl had received at least one dose of the HPV vaccine and that they had initiated the series. The vaccine uptake rate was a little bit higher among Latinas at 33%, and then it was between 23 and 24% for the other ethnic groups. These differences by ethnicity were not found to be statistically significant. Now we go into the communication with the doctor. So what we asked the mothers were, among those that had heard of the vaccine, we asked them if they had discussed the vaccine with their doctor and if the vaccine had been offered by their doctor. So overall, we found that 54% of the women said that their doctor did discuss the vaccine with them. But among the women whose girls had been vaccinated, the percentage was much higher at 82%. Similarly, about 60% of the women overall reported that their daughter's physician had offered the vaccine, but the percentage was 97% among the women whose girls had been vaccinated. Here we look at that same indicator of whether they had discussed the vaccine with their doctor by ethnicity. And so what we find here is that there are ethnic differences in vaccine discussion with a doctor. So on the left-hand side, you can see overall rates where the percentage was much lower for African-American women at 29%, followed by Chinese women at 41%. Interestingly enough, with Korean women, it was as high as 81%. So that was very interesting, that although they had much less likely to have heard of the vaccine, those that had heard of the vaccine were more likely to have discussed it with their doctors. What we did find is for each ethnic group, there was a statistically significant difference between vaccine discussion with a doctor among those that had vaccinated their daughters versus those that had not. We did do some logistic regression modeling, and we looked at the relationship between vaccine discussion with doctor and vaccine uptake, and basically our unadjusted odds ratio was 11.73, and then after we adjusted for the variables listed below, we still had a very high odds ratio of 10.9. So those that had discussed the vaccine with their doctor were almost 11 times more likely to have vaccinated their daughters. We did have two other indicators that were also statistically significant in our model. The first was the age of the girl. So the older the age of the girl, more likely that she was vaccinated. And the other one was that we asked the mothers, what is the youngest age that you feel that the vaccine should be given? So here we found that those that had said that the vaccine should be given at a younger age were the ones that were more likely to have vaccinated their daughters. Now, just really briefly, I wanted to look at the group that was unvaccinated. So the mothers who had not yet vaccinated their daughters, we asked them how important would the doctor be in decision-making regarding whether they were going to vaccinate their daughters. And what we found was that overall 65% said that the doctor would be very important. But again, you see pretty significant ethnic differences, with Chinese and Korean mothers being much less likely to say that the doctor would be very important. Then the last thing that we asked them, well, the other thing that we asked them about this was how important would they vaccinate if the doctor recommended the vaccine? So again, overall, very high percentage, just 67% said that they would vaccinate their daughter based on the doctor recommending it. But again, there are differences, and these were statistically significant, with African-American and Chinese mothers being much less likely to vaccinate just based on the doctor recommendation. So in conclusion, basically what we found in our study sample of low-income ethnic minority girls, among those that were aware of the HPV vaccine, communication with the physician about the vaccine was strongly associated with vaccine uptake. In fact, those that had discussed the vaccine with their daughter's physician, they were 10 times more likely to have initiated the vaccine series. Among the women whose girls were unvaccinated, although over 60% of them reported that the doctor would be important in their decision-making and that they would vaccinate if their doctor recommended it, there were ethnic differences noted, with African-American, Korean, and Chinese mothers much less likely to rely on the physician recommendation in decision-making and acceptability of the vaccine. So in addition to targeting physicians and encouraging them to discuss the vaccine and offer the vaccine, there are other barriers and concerns that need to be addressed to increase HPV vaccine uptake in this high-risk population. And basically, you know, we need to do further studies in this very specific low-income ethnic minority population to find out what those barriers and concerns are. So to end there, as I think my time is up, I did want to acknowledge the rest of our study team in addition to our collaborators. So Cindy Chang, our statistician at UCLA, my coworkers at Office of Women's Health, and specifically the hotline operators who did the interviews for this study. Thank you.